During the meeting, we ask that you turn off all your cell phones, pagers, electronic devices, anything that might cause noise. And if you need to have a conversation with your neighbor, if you would please take that out into the lobby so we don't disturb our applicants. During the meeting, we'll have a public comment period. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chair or the board by majority vote. May I get an approval of the minutes of November 13, 2018?
Madam Chair, I move to approve the minutes of November 13, 2018.
We have a motion on the floor to approve the minutes of November 13, 2018. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. An approval of the agenda for this evening, November
27, 2018. Madam Chair, I move to approve this evening's agenda for November 27th. As presented, with one exception. Item number one, TM18500194 Richmond Limited Partnership, was apparently, there is an error on that. It was sent to us. It is to be heard in Enterprise. It will not have a town board hearing. It will continue on and have a December 4th Planning Commission meeting, but that item will not be heard tonight. We need to remove it from our agenda because it's not in our purview.
So we have a motion on the floor to approve this evening's agenda with the removal of item number one. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, we have no neighborhood meetings or discussion today, so we'll move into planning and zoning item number two. UC180815, Evans Family Revocable Living Trust. Use permits for the following. One, allow an accessory structure, an RV garage hobby shop, to exceed one half of the footprint of the principal structure residence. And two, allow the cumulative area of all storage or accessory structures to exceed the footprint of the principal structure residence. Waiver development standards for increased building height in conjunction with an existing single family residence on 0.3 acres in an R1 single family residential zone, generally located south of San Anselmo Street and north of Hacienda Avenue, 150 feet west of Orinda Avenue within Paradise.
Okay, good evening, everybody. I'm glad everybody had a good Thanksgiving, I hope.
Yes.
Thank you. So last time we were here,
Name and address.
Hargrove, 7055 Windy Street. So with the gate on the Hacienda side for the egress for the RV that we were talking about, I think in everybody's best interest, we are going to put a fence in its place. So it would have just a pedestrian gate to access Hacienda side. Public Works weren't seeing eye to eye. It was like the chicken and the egg, whatever came first, and we really couldn't get a clear understanding of what they wanted. So we feel it's in the best interest to keep our project moving forward to just go ahead and put a fence in its place.
Okay, and you were gonna, is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? See no one, close it to the public, open it to the board. And you were gonna bring us a drawing because you didn't have anything to show us last time.
Well, I couldn't find any. I did have a drawing, but what I did is I just decided to bring down my whole
Okay.
So you can take a look.
Let's not cover up the mic, yes. Reporter's for me. Thank you. Good.
So it will be, it's architecturally compatible with the house. It's going to be painted to match the same color as the house, and the roof color will be shingled identically to the house as well.
And did you change the application to state you were going to put in a wall because they're still recommending denial?
As a matter of fact, I was hoping in your conditions, you could put that in your conditions when we go to the Planning Commission. And we'll be seeking to get a permit so we can put the new fence up as well. Sure. Hey. Yes.
When you say fence, what do you mean? Are you talking a block wall to match?
We're talking about a privacy wire. It's a steel fence with a privacy fence on the back side of it. Because that's what's right there now, so we just want to stick with that wall's pretty old that's there, so we don't want to compromise the rest of the wall, so we just want to put a steel fence with a privacy screen going across it.
So wrought iron or chain link?
Wrought iron.
Well, what about the square footage? Because one of the problems with the denial is the size of this thing based on the size of the home.
Well, it's the reason why it's the size it is one, so it could accommodate the RV on one side, and the other places where he could store his collectibles on the other side. The neighbors on both sides don't seem to have a problem with it. They're kind of just complacent, and they're okay with it. And he's set back on a corner, too, so it's not like sitting in the middle of everywhere. He's on the knuckle of the cul-de-sac.
Have you been talking to planning on this?
I have not yet talked to planning, because we figure we go through zoning first and then go to planning. That will be my next hurdle when we get to submitting everything.
Are you guys going to... You've recommended denial, but if we get the fence, how about the size of this thing? If it's over 50%.
Staff is recommending denial on all that, so that's at your purview.
The other thing we were looking for was some kind of plan on the landscape.
On the landscape, and he plans on planting trees, you know, anything for screening on the hacienda side, and then also on the other side of the building towards the property lines as well. So those would be...
Yeah, that's what we were hoping you'd bring back a site plan that showed, okay, here's where it sits.
All that will be submitted when I turn everything into planning, of course.
Where is this going to sit? Sorry.
Go ahead. No, you're fine.
Where is this going to sit exactly on the map?
That I have right here in the spot plan right here for you. So this is going away. This is the hacienda side. This is not going to be here. There's an existing driveway right here. And this is hacienda right here.
And the door? The roll-up door?
The roll-up door is right here.
And nothing on the side?
There's nothing on the side.
No roll-up door.
No. There's a roll-up door back here, so that way when he pulls it in, so if he's going to be working in his... You know, in his garage, he could just roll the RV out, hook just to the front here, and then he has a clear area to be working. But that's it. I think there's one pedestrian residential door here on the side and two windows.
So there's a door in the front and a door in the rear.
Correct.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I went out there again today, and I was really, really discouraged by what I saw.
Right, so
this is a photo that was taken last time. This is a photo that was taken today.
Okay.
There's trailers in there, there are more stuff. We've got a car now parked in the back that I didn't see before. And my big concern, and I understand that you're saying you're going to put a fence, but I'm absolutely opposed to any ingress, egress, coming out onto this major street with the bicycle path there.
I totally understand.
In fact, if anything, this should be closed off with the CMU wall and match up what's there. But I try to visualize the size of this building, which is a little difficult when you're kind of outside and across the street. And try to imagine the size of the building and where it was going to be located. And I didn't know exactly which way it was going to be positioned, along parallel with the side of the east wall or towards the south. It is 25 feet.
21 feet.
21 feet, which is...
Isn't more, you know, if you've seen two-story houses, those are much taller than this building's going to be.
Yeah, there really isn't anything along that north side of the road that I can see was anywhere near this area. And it will be seen from the road. And I'm I just...
Well, by having this shop, it's going to eliminate all this clutter that you're showing in these pictures right here.
Well, some of the stuff shouldn't even be in here to begin
with. And two, it's going to be able to cover the RV instead of sitting out in the sun. And I'm sure if you had an RV and you desired a garage, you would like to have it covered as well.
Yeah, but
and
I would probably put it on the side of my house, not in the backyard, as far back as it is. And that close.
Unfortunately, sir, I cannot build this on the side of the house because of my setbacks.
I can see you need something to put the RV in. People get RV garages all the time, but you're adding the second floor above that, and that's what increases the height. So I could approve an RV garage, but not an RV garage with a second story on it.
It doesn't have a second story. It's more of a loft just on half of this right here.
I understand that, but you still have to go to that height to get that loft up there.
I have to go to that height to get this height of the door in here. So as you see, that door needs to be 14 feet high for the RV to fit in. And that loft is just for extra storage, so to help clean all the clutter up off the backyard.
And the RV's 22 feet high?
No, ma'am. The RV is about 13.6 with the air conditioner on top. That would motor in into the garage on one side, mm-hmm. and allows him to use the
but you want to go 22 feet high for, and you only need, say, 15 feet.
Because that's unfortunately, ma'am, that's how garages are designed, because you have your truss that you have to contend with, that you have no storage up in the truss area. So that part would look just like this. So you need this height for that door to fit in all the way up to here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've got a problem with the size, we've got a problem with the heights, and we have a problem with ingress egress.
Well, and you also have a problem with landscaping. I mean, it is not buffered at all, at least so far.
Well, that's why I was disappointed, because we asked you to bring back a plan that showed the landscaping and what you were going to do, and we already saw this. So you didn't really come back with any solutions that we asked for. I don't like the wrought iron idea. I think it needs to be a block wall, because if you can let your yard look like that, you can certainly break the rules by taking the wrought iron down and going right on through as soon as no one's paying attention again.
You know, there are no further comments, Madam Chair. I'd like to make a motion to deny this application, and if we could possibly forward these photos and put them within the record.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor to deny this application. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, item number 3, TA180845, Huntington Gym Lab, text amendment to amend chapter 30.44, table 30.44-1, to allow secondhand sales within the CP Office and Professional Zoning District. Is the applicant here? Hey, we'll trail this till the end. Item number 4, UC180838, Auto Drop Holdings LLC, use permits to allow 1, a convenience store, and 2, allow alcohol sales, beer and wine packaged only in conjunction with an existing wholesale food distributor on 0.31 acres in an MD Design Manufacturing A60 zone. Located 148 feet south of Palma Lane and 1,500 feet west of Eastern Lane within Paradise.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is John Brett Ottolenghi. That's Ottolenghi.
John, could you use the microphone?
Yes.
So the recorders can pick you up.
So that's in here?
Yeah.
There we go.
Can you hear me? So that's John Brett Ottolenghi, it's Ottolenghi. And so we have a retail store.
Address, sorry.
2053 Pama Lane. It's 89119. Here's a copy of what's on this board. It's close up. So we've been in this area for about 9 years selling gourmet foods, and we would like to add packaged alcohol for retail sale. This is the floor plan and where we propose to put the alcohol. And you can see what it currently looks like. This is the outside. These pictures were taken today, so this is what the inside looks like, but the alcohol is able to be moved, and there will be a section created here.
Does anyone from the public like to speak on this item? See no one, I'll close the public, open it for the board.
Madam Chair, if there are no comments on this application, I'll move to approve subject to staff conditions.
We have a motion on the floor to approve this item subject to staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Item number 5, BS180756, Vibe Apartments LLC, vacate and abandon a portion of right-of-way, being a public alleyway located between along the Reno Avenue alignment between Wilbur Street and Maryland Parkway within Paradise.
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the Town Board. Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the Town Board. Stephanie Allen and Chip Maxfield here on behalf of the applicant, who is actually the property owner just to the north, right here, is Vibe Apartments. This is located between Wilbur Street and Maryland Parkway along the Reno alignment. It's located right here. There's an alleyway that is formed back in the 60s or 70s that's no longer needed and basically is just a place for trash and homeless. So the applicant is asking to vacate that. County was recommending approval, and eventually, after we work with some of the property owners to this out, the idea would be to gate it off and actually be able to use that property. So it's sort of a step one in a long-term plan, but we think it'll be better than it currently is with all of the nuisance that goes on back there. So we very much appreciate your approval.
Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? See no one, I'll close to the public, open it to the board.
Madam Chair, if no one has anything, I'll make a motion to approve, subject to any staff conditions.
We have a motion on the floor to approve this item subject to staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item number 6, VS180847, County of Clark Aviation and Eagle Aviation Resources Lease. Vacate and abandon a portion of right-of-way being Reno Avenue, located between Colval Lane and Paradise Road within Paradise. Nope.
Are they all the same thing?
Yes.
I'll get up.
Okay. My name is
Lynn Loper. I'm representing the applicant tonight. They couldn't be here. In their behalf, I would like to read to you what he has asked me to read.
Did we get your address, Lynn?
Oh, sorry. 9712 Forest Glen Place, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89034. The intent of the proposed approval is to obtain a vacation of an existing right-of-way on airport property that is just south of the proposed terminal building. The right-of-way is shown in yellow on the attached plan and used for below-grade utilities, including an existing water line. These utilities will not be impacted by the proposed improvements, and no structures will be built within the right-of-way. The proposed improvements on the right-of-way are required parking and landscaping for the terminal building, which is right here in purple. A transformer and trash enclosure will also be placed within the right-of-way. These improvements are consistent with the current use of the right-of-way for parking, landscaping, and aircraft tarmac area. The right-of-way proposed to be vacated arose of parts of right-of-way per documents, and I have the numbers here shown on C5-01.
So here's one, and here's the other. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? See, no one. I'll close to the public. Open it to the board.
Well, Madam Chair, if there are no comments on this application, I'll move to approve, subject to staff conditions.
We have a motion on the floor to approve this item subject to staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Item number 7, ET18400236, UC058114, Veneto Paradise LLC and Veneto Paradise 2 LLC, use permit second extension of time for the following: one resort condominiums with kitchens and two increased building heights. Design review for resort condominium buildings on 4.4 acres in an H1 limited resort and apartment AE60 zone in the MUD 2 overlay district, generally located south of Albert Avenue and west of Palos Verdes Street within Paradise.
Good evening. I'm Greg Bordell, 300 South 4th Street, here for the developer. This is an extension of time, and accordingly, it isn't necessary always to bring plans, but we're kind of happy with the plans, so I brought a set for each of you. You have looked at it before and recommended approval. The applicant has been, as I understand it, working seriously on the site, but all of the work has been on the drainage. This is a challenged site by the wash that passes through it, but he, I understand, has expended a lot of money in getting that straightened out and would be ready to go forward. Unfortunately, site preparation and drainage work doesn't constitute commencement. So we're here to request a second extension of time to commence the project. The applicant has reviewed the staff conditions, and I believe they're all acceptable.
Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? Seeing no one, I'll close it to the public, open it to the board. Your turn, Bob.
Madam Chair, if there are no comments, I'd like to make a motion to approve subject to conditions.
We have a motion on the floor to approve this item subject to staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you and good evening.
Thank you. Item number 8, UC180860, New Octavius Owner LLC. Use permits for the following: one recreational facility event center with on-premises consumption of alcohol, two allowed temporary events longer than 10 days per event, three deviations development standards for plans on file, deviations for the following: one alternative external building materials, and two permit a use show not within a permanent enclosed building, three permit access to accessory uses from the exterior of a resort hotel, Caesar's Palace, and four all other deviations per plans on file. Design reviews for the following: one, a fabric structure tent, two, outdoor dining and drinking area, three, accessory structures, four, amended comprehensive sign plan, and five, increased animated sign area in conjunction with an existing resort hotel, Caesar's Palace, on 80.2 acres in an H1 limited resort and apartment zone in the MUD 1 overlay district, generally located on the northwest corner of Las Vegas Boulevard South and Flamingo Road within Paradise.
That's a lot. Good evening. Brooke Holmes with Brownstein Heights Barbershop, 100 North City Parkway, Suite 1600, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89106. Appearing on behalf of the applicant, Desert Palace LLC, also known as Caesar's Palace, in connection with the application before you. The applicant is requesting approval for use permits, a design review, and deviations for the original absent tent that was previously approved in connection with application UC120098, which expired in April 2017, and the proposed Green Fairy Garden that will serve as an area for guests to relax and extend their engagement in the absent world. This exciting application features a garden that will be directly located in front of the absent tent as shown on the plans before you, and will be enclosed by an 8-foot-high perimeter fencing. This space will be created using structures from modified steel Konex structures, shipping containers, and will be retrofitted and installed as permanent structures and will comply with all fire and building requirements. Within the garden area, there is a small VIP space, merchandise area, and portal entry to the opposite tent for VIP guests. The VIP space will serve as a bar, serving high-end cocktails, and will be raised with multiple seating areas. The garden area will also feature a small selection of food offerings and bar service, and all enclosed within an 8-foot-high perimeter fencing. The main feature of the garden will be a programmable LED sculptural tree that is 35 feet and 35 feet in diameter. And the tree will have the ability to change colors and become a beautiful canvas of color and pattern, and is classified as an animated freestanding sign. As you can see from the plans before you, the proposed site location is almost completely hidden from Las Vegas Boulevard and will have no impact to the surrounding traffic or pedestrian flow. This project has been thoughtfully designed to enhance and beautify the existing place and continues to provide a one-of-a-kind experience for visitors from around the world to take part in the absinthe experience. Staff is recommending approval. With that, I will take any questions that you have.
Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? See no one, I'll close to the public, open it to the board.
Madam Chair, as I relate some thoughts to this young lady yesterday, I have some thoughts I'd like to relay to the county. I believe our code says a tent, basically this kind of tent, should be up for 10 days or look shorter. I think it's 3 years now that this has been up. And I already knew, but her pictures prove that this is not obtrusive. It doesn't, there's nothing wrong with the tent. However, why do we have something on the books, and we have more than one tent running around town now? We have some down by Smith Center, we have Absinthe, we have, why are we allowing this to happen? I mean, either make them build something or change the rules, because I just don't understand why this is still going on. I have no problem with the tent. It looks fine. I've been inside. I've seen the show. But I'm getting tired of asking for exceptions. And then I have something to say to you. I thought this was the application. How long have you been representing this plan?
I actually started with Brownstein a few months ago.
Let me restate that. How long has your firm, the firm, been?
We came on board after this use permit had already expired. I think that's
because this is the second one where I've ripped you guys. Not your firm necessarily, but I'm getting tired of you guys coming in here asking for an extension. You're being paid, or somebody at Caesar's Palace is being paid to watch when these expire. You should not even be back here before us with this.
I agree totally, and when we were brought in, that was one of the issues that they wanted to address. There are several properties that Caesars owns. There's different facilities people, there's different management people, and you're right, they weren't always talking to each other. They hired us about a year and a half ago to come in. We now track everything, we calendar everything, and we're hoping that this is not gonna happen anymore. If it does, somehow we missed it, because this is exactly the type of problem that we don't want to see happen anymore either. So we totally appreciate where you're coming from.
We have some a very big corporation and a very reasonably sized firm that should be tracking this information, and to have this continually happen and slip through the cracks is, pardon me, but crapola.
I hear what you're saying, and I'm hoping that any that have slipped through the cracks that all predates us and that you're not going to see anymore.
And I would ask the county to relook at itself and say, why are we doing this? If this is going to be basically their home, let's approve the dang thing and let it go. And
we have that not just with the tents, but any type of temporary structure. No one can give you an idea what really temporary.
I was just going to say, with somebody, they can't. County apparently can't. Nobody can define temporary. I thought I used to know what it was.
Well,
but
I've seen this before. I've seen a building go behind a Montessori school and close to my place, it's hoisted over the house, and it's temporary. It's been there for 8 years. That's pretty interesting.
So if you could take back to your counterparts, that, I mean, we're only a recommending board, but we are a board, and then we're tired.
I will be more than happy to take back to our staff and our director, but I always encourage you to speak to your commissioners as well.
I can do that. I have breakfast coming up with him soon, so yes, I will speak to my commissioner. And again, there's nothing wrong with the application. You guys really haven't done anything wrong. I'm not sure you've done anything wrong. I'm not positive about that.
Well, on a positive note, I'm very impressed with this tree. When I saw LED tree, you think of the ones that are just branches, and this is a very impressive centerpiece.
Yeah.
And I think this area, if we're going to keep the tent, is far better than the parking lot look with the glass doors as you walk in.
Actually, the tent looks better than a lot of the tents.
Yeah. This particular tent has an actual certificate of occupancy from the building, and it's sprinkled and
Yeah, but it's not your job. You have a client. They are supposed to define what you can do. They're not doing their job by giving us rules that you can live by. So I'm not upset with you. Other than you screwed up, or somebody did, not you. That back. I'm going to shut up.
All right, I'm going to make a motion to approve this item subject to staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item number 9, WS180868 JD Industrial LLC. Waivers of development standards for the following: 1, waive the trash enclosure requirement, and 2, allow modified street standards. Design review for a proposed office warehouse development on 1.3 acres in an M1 light manufacturing AE65 zone, generally located on the north side of Post Road, 150 feet west of Henson Street within Paradise.
Good evening. John Burke, Architect, 6037 Software Apache, BURKE. We have a little office warehouse tonight, 50,000 square foot concrete built up. So you can see where it's located. Back in this kind of cul-de-sac type neighborhood. Here's the 215, here's Sunset, here's Valley View, here's Tolles, here's Henson. And the tracks kind of cut it all off. So,
Since it's this stuff, could you plop that up here so we can see? That's old eyes over there.
Oh, hey. I'm with you. So basically, we have the single-story concrete tilt-up at parking down here, have a yard in the back. This is the one waiver where 190 feet is required. We have 122 feet. We put it on this side so we wouldn't be on top of the chef's warehouse, driveway. Staff concurred on that one. The other thing we were asking for was, basically to accept a Republic Services 30 cubic yard dumpster that basically they come every month and pick up. It works a lot better for their business. Actually, currently their business is right across the street. So the owners were saying, well, if we have this, we're really not going to use the dumpster, so we were asking for a waiver for the dumpster requirement. It's really a smart business decision, $242 a month.
I wish.
Holds a lot more. So we have offices of JM AC Plumbing and Mechanical. This is their warehouse. Just a nice, basic little concrete tilt-up with a nice color scheme. It's got metal awnings over the office windows. All the offices have nice windows and a nice entry. So, having said that, happy to answer any questions.
So, anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? Seeing no one, I'll close the public, open it to the board. So the only real issue, if you could go back to where you were, this one right here, is just the distance between Henson
right, so
and it, post.
Right, this is a call to departure distance. Mm-hmm. Someone, according to the uniform geometric 222.1 drawing, this is supposed to be 190 feet. And just
is there a lot of traffic on Henson?
Well, that's the, I mean, that's why I brought this. I mean, this is what you have. This is all cut off. Henson only serves these buildings back here. So there's really not a lot of traffic on Henson. And actually, Public Works and Jason Allswain doesn't have a problem with it.
Okay. Anybody else want
to? So the driveway doesn't seem to be an issue with Public Works, right? It's more of a trash container. So if this is approved, per the if approved conditions, does that carry on? What happens? I understand you're not going to be generating the normal amount of trash in a facility such as this, but does that carry on to folks that come in down the road, thus staying with the application?
There are times over the life of the site, unfortunately I've been doing this for a really long time, it feels like today. so it's just been one of those days after the holiday, where now this user doesn't need it, and it would continue on if the property changed hands, the user changes hands. And then there's some areas that we're seeing, especially like the Summers Manor area, when people come back and go, you know why there's not a dumpster here? They'll go back, they'll get a building permit, they'll put it in, they'll make sure the site's sufficient. So it doesn't work now, but it would be up to that property owner's purview if they wanted it in the future. But no matter what, the condition of the public services certifying their container process and stuff is sufficient. And so each of these conditions might have to it.
Based on the size of the container, are they like throwing old sheet metal and whatnot in it versus it's not office trash?
No. So in other words, you know, they're building their ducts
right
here. Yeah. So sort of. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of
sheet metal.
They need a waste. They need a construction situation
versus bags of trash.
Well, Madam Chair, anybody else have anything?
No. Go for it.
All right. I'd like to make a motion to approve this subject to the if approved staff conditions.
A motion to approve this application subject to the if approved staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lorna.
Circle back to item number 3, TA180845 Huntington Gym Lab. The applicant. Oh, that's you?
I'm trying to Lorna Fegley, our County Current Planning, 500 South Grand Central. We always give the applicant the opportunity to attend the town board meetings, and because Spring Valley is occurring tonight, they maybe have been trying to get across town, we don't know. So in these cases, staff would represent it. What I know is what you have pretty much before you in the staff report regarding the request for the text amendment. Staff is recommending approval. Several other uses are listed within the use table that are allowed conditionally within the CP zoning district, such as a medical and dental laboratory, photographic studio, recording studio, a watch or a small clock repair. These uses are similar in terms of customer makeup. None of the uses rely on walk-in traffic, but rather requires an appointment. Staff agrees with allowing less intensive retail uses in a CP zoning district and finds that secondhand sales or jewelry sales, including secondhand sales, which is a less intensive use than a typical secondhand sales retail establishment, may be an appropriate change to Title 30. And that's what I have to say.
Okay. And is there anyone from the public? See no one? I'll close to the public, open it to the board.
So my question is, if we have such a high rate vacancy in retail, why would we need to amend this text to allow secondhand dealers with this sort of stuff in CP. I'm concerned with CP up against residential neighborhoods. And it's clear to me with the way the internet is going that there will be more and more vacancy with retail. It's already all over the place. Closing up places, why can't these second-hand jewelry places or clock these sorts of businesses go into these vacant spots? Why are we opening the door to...
I wish I thought
you would
answer that question, because I don't get into cost per square footage on retail, and I just don't have a brain capacity to track that as well as the other things that I do. But one of the things that I read in the applicant's justification was they talked about in these instances where the people who are doing this jewelry appraisal type of stuff to be able to purchase it, they're specialized, they have certification, there's national boards and things like that. So as society has shifted and we've gone through years and years from when Calgary was originally started, the applicant was arguing that due to the additional certifications that are used for insurance purposes or whatever, that this is more of an office type use, and so you will have incidental sales, is what I got out of it. And everything was done by appointment for this type of use. And so adding it to the secondhand sales is what their request.
So right now they can come in and ask for it as a special use permit, correct? If they wanted to be in CP, wouldn't they just apply to be in CP versus... It's interesting because I actually have a tenant who does this, who's a jewelry appraisal person who actually sells jewelry as well, and she's in one of my executive suites. So that's when I read this, I was like, well, wait a minute, she's not in retail, and I know she doesn't have a special use permit. So how did she get in there if it wasn't allowed? Hope don't get her in trouble, but it just, I would agree with Bart. I mean, it says here that, you know, they don't want to be somewhere where people would walk up. Well, you don't have to open, you can be in a retail center and not be open to the public.
Right.
Well, and you also have, like you said, the one client in these, what do you call it, in the collaboration of little offices with one secretary.
Yeah, executive suite.
Executive suite.
Yeah.
What?
So she has people meet with her, they make an appointment, they come in, she either appraises their jewelry or coins, or she designs jewelry for them, has it made, and delivers it to them. I've also got a gun salesman in there, so...
Clearly the rent would be cheaper in a CP zone area versus...
Well, and not necessarily, like, just to give you an example, you said you're not sure quite, we charge $4.25 a square foot, where in our retail space goes for $3 a square foot, and just because of the location, we're higher priced retail. You can get retail from $1.25 on up, depending on where you want to be. So you're not necessarily cheaper in a CP. The market's changing where rents are dropping. I just don't like text amendments for one specific person.
If I may, I wanted to list something up in code for what it stands. And your question to me was, in secondhand sales, they can get a special use permit in the CP district. At this time, no.
Okay.
It's not permitted at all. And so this would allow it to be permitted with this change.
So they'd still have to request, if you change this, say it's then it's just permitted, they don't have to come in, fill out an application to...
For special use.
For a special use.
They would be permitted.
They would be permitted, so it eliminates applying.
For
right.
So this is just specific to this particular kind of business.
Right, and if you're changing the way the definitions are, and it ties into Chapter 6 of Code, which is business license code for second-hand dealer. And what I respond to that is what I'm reading here in the staff report. I am not that familiar with business license code. So I don't really don't know how to answer your question for that because it's getting into territory I'm not able to really get too deep into. But from what I can see right now, it's not permitted, and this is not, from the way I read it, it's not recommending that.
Because we're changing it to say secondhand sales, not necessarily jewelry, but secondhand sales, which could be, yeah, that could be a lot of, because we all think of swap meets.
But down below, you're exempting business.
Right.
Which are the things that we worry about, really, not the dense residential.
If we happen to say no, it wouldn't be the first time in the world that this board's been overridden.
I don't know. I just like.
I mentioned earlier, I think this is just really fruitless and pointless. There are vacancies everywhere, and they're really nice places, and there are places that are not quite so nice, but. And these executive suites are everywhere, so I don't understand why they're doing this. And it seems, you know, to be doing this specifically for one business, well,
I agree. I mean, other than this gym lab, has there been like a professional group that's gotten together, an association of jewelers who said, we need this to happen to save our business, or is just this one particular company came in and asked?
As far as I know, it's one particular company, that's the way a text amendment would work, would be one
right.
applicant, whatever their situation is, their approval to submit the text amendment.
I mean, I remember with the hairstylist wanting to serve alcohol, there was like a group of hairstylists that got together as like an association and said, we want to do this. I'd be more prone to say, okay, it helps all of the industry versus one person.
Just me.
So
yeah.
That's the way I feel.
I want John's
opinion. How do you feel, John? You have any opinions?
I just have a problem with CP as it is right now. We lost a neighborhood street to CP, commercial. CP on one side, because it's up against residential on Ringer. And then we've got C1 on the other side, C2 beyond that, along those again. And it's been a constant battle.
Constant.
I have stuff in to code enforcement all the time. Just people move in there, do whatever they want. And I kind of like having the control when they do stuff the way they're supposed to. Because, I don't know, secondhand sales, even though you've made a list of stuff, I could probably think of other things that should be exempt. And we're already fighting a battle in the older neighborhoods on what not to do on residential. And it's so easy for that to happen. We lost that entire residential street at one time.
Raymond.
Off of Sandow.
On the east side, right?
Yeah, older neighborhood, and we fight battles constantly with this stuff, and I like the control that we currently have on it. I mean, if they would have to come before us for a permit or something like that, maybe I wouldn't have such a problem, and then we could decide from there.
Exactly, some on
control.
A case by case.
I was going to say, well, you've got a three-step review process here right now. If they have to come before us,
mm-hmm.
we like it or don't like it, but there's somebody above us that a little broader view, like it or don't like it, and some of it will go to the county commission. And at least it's vetted.
Yeah. I mean, if you had something like this where, say, certain types of businesses could apply for a permit, and then we could review it
on a case-by-case
basis, and then we have some control. But the way to just do a blanket text amendment that goes basically it's good everywhere.
Right.
At that point, I don't see it. That was a great example of how to lose a neighborhood street. It's like we've had some examples on how we lose RMPs. So.
All right.
So one of you fine gentlemen like to make a motion?
Well, I make a motion to deny the application.
We have a motion on the floor to deny this application. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, general business. Anything, Blanca? Nope. All right. Comments by the general public. A period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken upon a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chair or board by majority votes. We have no one present. Our next meeting is December 11th. May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Madam Chair, the 11th is our last one of the year, right?
Yeah.